Happy Good Friday, everyone. Healthcare and retail news today of another possible big tie-up. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. With ongoing speculation about whether Amazon will dip its toes further into the healthcare industry, one of its biggest rivals might be about to strike. The BBC's Victoria Craig reports.
Walmart is in early discussions with health insurer Humana about a possible deal, and according to reports overnight, it could include an acquisition. A tie-up would be Walmart's biggest ever deal and bring about a big change in focus. The company has gone toe-to-toe with Amazon, aggressively competing in the world of online shopping. Now, it appears the world's biggest retailer is looking to fend off its rival in the healthcare industry. Earlier this year, Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JPMorgan Chase announced a partnership on employee healthcare. Its aim is to cut costs and boost services. Walmart and Humana have an existing partnership on Medicare drug plans, which drives patients to Walmart's pharmacies. A closer relationship could allow Humana patients to seek basic services like lab testing at Walmart. It's a service the company began providing last summer. Talks of a potential deal between Walmart and Humana follow previous acquisitions pairing retailers with health services providers. In December, CVS agreed to buy Aetna, and in March, Cigna planned to purchase Express Scripts. Shares of Humana soared more than 10% in after-hours trade on the news. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in the U.S., Europe, and many parts of Asia closed today for Good Friday, but in Tokyo and Shanghai, where trading was open, stocks capped off the first quarter on a high note, ending in positive territory. Now, in the past, positive statistics from sub-Saharan Africa were hard to come by, but a new World Bank report says the region has achieved big reforms on gender equality. Shanta Devarajan is acting chief economist of the World Bank. He told us more.
Countries like Kenya, like Tanzania, Zambia, and DR Congo all have made substantial strides in the last 2 years. For instance, DR Congo has introduced legislation on all aspects of entrepreneurship, starting a business, getting access to credit, signing a contract, and even working. Women and men are exactly equal. That's really quite a profound change, although to be careful, it's a change in the law. Then there is the issue of implementation. It's quite shameful that, what is it, well over 105 countries out of 189, so it's more than half, still have laws restricting what kinds of occupations women can work in. And this ranges from things like agriculture to manufacturing to construction work. You would think that by now we've gotten over the idea that these occupations are not for women. One of the things I found was there are occupations where the workers have to lift weights that they've actually said it's not good for women. But the weight, the restriction is basically the average weight of a 2-year-old child. Now, at home, those women are lifting their 2-year-old kid all the time. So I don't see why they can't do it at work either. Men have as much to gain from this as women. There's plenty of evidence that more women working or more women owning businesses, overall incomes of men and women increase. Gender equality benefits everybody.
Shanta Devarajan. Getting ready for work? Got your clothes and makeup ready to go? Listen to this story by the BBC's Daniel Thomas.
It's Friday morning, and I'm meeting Wayne Noir at a cafe near his office in central London. The 31-year-old is editor-in-chief of a fashion magazine, and like others in his industry, he prides himself on looking good. But, he tells me, there's something about his look that sets him apart from other men, and that's makeup.
It's a simple tinted foundation, just to get rid of any blemishes that I might have after a stressful day, along with a concealer that goes underneath my eyes just to cover up the dark circles, and then on top of that, a basic eyeshadow to stubble in my beard.
Wayne says he has always dabbled with makeup, but has felt more confident using it recently. A lot more of his friends are starting to wear cosmetics, both gay and straight.
The stigma will always be around with the older generation, but the younger generation, people that are image conscious, people that want to look their best, it will change.
Big beauty firms say they're seeing rising demand from men for their products. Tom Ford has its own makeup range for men, and L'Oreal has cast men in its adverts. I'm in London's Carnaby Street to meet Alex Daly, the founder of Men's Makeup UK, or MMUK.
I've got a portfolio of over 40 products that range from everything from concealer, beard filler, to foundations, bronzers, anti-shine powders. So we've kind of moved with the times over the last few years.
Mr. Daly says the firm initially targeted its products at the gay community, but soon realised that the market was much bigger than that.
There's a lot more men that are just becoming open to the subject. They're open talking about it.
But while male makeup may be less taboo than it once was, most men I spoke to on Carnaby Street said it was still out of the question.
I would never wear makeup, but if I was to be in front of camera or need it for a theatre production or something, I would wear makeup.
For me, it's not relevant to my day-to-day routine of getting ready.
So the only time that I think using makeup is for men is maybe at their wedding.
Research firm Mintel says male cosmetics still account for less than 1% of the global beauty market. Magazine editor Wayne says he thinks that male makeup will become more mainstream.
I believe that other mainstream brands will be taking it on, and I think they should all dabble in with it because they miss a market.
He's confident we'll see male makeup counters on the high street soon.
Daniel Thomas reporting there. Finally, several stories to round off your Friday. Female cabin crew at Hong Kong's Cathay Pacific have won the right to wear trousers. Also, the biggest piece of space junk, the Chinese lab Tiangong-1, should fall to Earth over the weekend. Experts say, don't worry, most of its 8 tons will burn up on re-entry. And for the first time in 90 years, pubs in Ireland will sell alcohol on Good Friday. The last time you could do that was back in 1927. The legal change hopes to boost Irish tourism. Cheers. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.